الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قالت الأعراب آمنا، قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم، وإن تطيعوا الله ورسوله لا يلتكم من أعمالكم شيئا، إن الله غفور رحيم. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ذاق طعم الإيمان من رضي بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رسولا، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام, most respected elders and brothers, and also those listening over receivers, in this ayat al-kareema, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses an aspect on iman. If we look at the background or the reason for which this ayat was revealed, then we find in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a certain Arab tribe, although there is a difference of opinion with regards to which tribe it is, but they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and accepted Islam. However, their intentions was merely to attain the spoils of war and war booty which the Muslims were now receiving in the various victories, in the various battles. So that was their intention. They accepted Islam and they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, we have brought Iman, we are now mu'min. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the following verses which were recited, correcting them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then instructed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell them that no, you have not brought Iman, but rather say that you have merely accepted Islam. Now, although this verse may be referring to that particular tribe, however, the Quran al-Kareem was revealed for the entire mankind. Therefore, each and every one of us can take lesson and derive lessons from the Quran al-Kareem, from every ayah of the Quran al-Kareem, even though it was revealed for a specific group of people. So therefore, in the verses thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then defines what Iman is. And that is what is accepted in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not our understanding of Iman, but rather what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines as Iman. We find many a times we have a definition of a certain thing, but the definition which is accepted is that definition which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts. For example, we take a simple example of success. What is our definition of success? What is our definition of falah and najah, success? So our definition of success, even though we may not say it, but deep down in our hearts, we regard that person who has sufficient worldly wealth, or that person who has many degrees to his name, or that person who has a good bank balance, or that person who has many properties, then we regard that person in this world to be successful. But that is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala terms as success. If we look at the Quran al-Kareem, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines success in many places. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. That person who has been saved from the fire of Jahannam and he gains entry into Jannah, then that person is successful. In another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُتِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. That person who obeys Allah and obeys his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that person has attained great success. In another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرِ. That those people who bring Iman and they do good deeds, then for them will be gardens beneath which rivers will flow. And that is true success. So success in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something else, and our definition of success is something else. If that was the case, then in our definition, the Sahaba ikram, na'uzu billah, and many of the tabi'een and fuqaha were most unsuccessful. Because how many of them had all the worldly wealth? So it is good to have the worldly wealth, but that is not the criteria for success. The criteria for success is that person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with and gains entry into Jannah. So for the definition of iman, we have to look at the Quran Kareem. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala define as a mu'min, as a believer? In the verses thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then discusses who a true mu'min is. Allah ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the mu'min are only those who believe in Allah and they believe in the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. Then they have no doubts. In other words, they have firm conviction and yaqeen in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said and what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have informed us. There is no doubts in their heart. If we want to understand what yaqeen is, then if we look in our daily lives, if we go to a doctor and he gives us a diagnosis that you have bronchitis or you have sugar, then most of us will accept what the doctor says. We'll have firm conviction that what he said is the truth and nothing but the truth. So in the same manner, whereas there is a possibility that the doctor could have made an error in his diagnosis, or there is the possibility that he could be dishonest. But when it comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we are all well aware with regards to the honesty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that even the sworn enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had testified to the honor, they had testified to the truthfulness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until he became famous and well known for as-sadiq al-ameen, the most truthful, the most trustworthy. It is famous, those of us who know the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to invite his close relatives towards iman, then he gathered them before the Mount Safa, and then he said to them that if I inform you behind me, behind this mountain, that an army is about to attack you, will you believe me? They said, most certainly, most definitely we will believe you, because we have never ever witnessed a lie from you. So even the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that he would never ever speak a lie. So when we know this, then why is it that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs us that these actions are beneficial for you, these actions are harmful for you, then that through our actions we see there's doubts. So we should have firm conviction in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us and what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us. For example, Rasulullah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have told us that interest destroys the wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys by means of interest. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. Then we should have firm yaqeen and conviction that if we will take 1 cent of interest, it will destroy our wealth. The barakah will be removed from our wealth. And that person who gives sadaqah, who gives zakat, then this will increase his wealth, although we may not see it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place barakah in his wealth. With those few 100 rands, what he will be able to achieve, a person with thousands will never be able to achieve. This is what barakah is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. Then they do not have any doubts. وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Then they strive using their wealth, using themselves in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it is fighting the enemy, whether it is fighting their nafs, whether it is fighting their evil desires, or whether it is sacrificing for the upliftment of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the various departments, these all fall under the purview of this ayah. If we look thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions and says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. As Allama Alusi Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, أي الذين صدقوا في دعوة الإيمان. Those who are truthful in the claim of iman, that is what true iman is. Then if we study the lives of the Sahaba-i-Kiram, as we know, the Sahaba-i-Kiram are our guiding stars. As our Hazrat Maulana mentions, that look at the Sahaba-i-Kiram. They were all guiding stars, and each and every one of them was a guiding star. If we look at the stars of the sky, then nobody can say that if you follow this star, then if you want to go west, then look at any star in the sky, and you will be able to go west. And if you want to go north, then look at any star in the sky and you will be able to go north. But the Sahaba Ikram, any one we will take, then inshallah we will gain hidayah by studying their lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions with regard to the Sahaba Ikram, أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ. These were those people in whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had embedded iman. Iman was embedded in their hearts. With regards to this ayah, the history behind this ayah, more specifically is referring to Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiyallahu an, a very prominent and famous sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Although it is referring to other sahaba ikram. But Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiyallahu an was a very prominent sahaba. He was amongst the sabiqoon al-awwaloon, the first few sahaba ikram to have accepted Islam. In fact, it is mentioned that his Islam was a day after the Islam of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu an. Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiyallahu an was that sahabi who in the battle of Uhud, when the Muslims were losing ground, and now when the enemies had launched a full-scale attack on the being of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when all they were calling out is, show us where is Muhammad, now we want to assassinate and kill him, na'uzu billah. Now, there were 10 brave and courageous sahaba ikram who had formed a human ring around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the thick of that battle. And they were using their bodies to shield their enemy. They were using their body to protect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some sahaba ikram were using their hands to stop the arrows from touching the beloved body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amongst those 10 fortunate sahaba ikram was Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiyallahu an. In that same battle, it is famous and we are well aware that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was injured in that battle to such an extent that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost his mubarak tooth in that battle. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was severely injured in his head. Two of the rings of his helmet had pierced in the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the blood was oozing on the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiyallahu an who came forward and using his teeth, he grabbed those hooks and he pulled it out of the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and as a result, two of his teeth were made shaheed because of this. This was Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiyallahu an, no ordinary sahaba. In any event, in the battle of Badr, Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiyallahu an was fighting against the enemy of Islam, the mushrikeen. And amongst the enemies was his father, who was a mushrik, an enemy of Islam. So when his eye fell on his father, he said, after all, this is my father. So he tried to avoid him. But his father caught sight of him. And his father kept on coming after him, kept on coming after him. Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah tried to avoid his father, tried to avoid his father. But it was inevitable. He came face to face with his father. And finally, he killed his father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed this verse. لَا تَجِرُ قَوْمًا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يُوَادُّونَ مَنْ حَادَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَوْ كَانُوا آبَاءَهُمْ أَوْ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ أَوْ إِخْوَانَهُمْ أَوْ عَشِيرَتَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that you will not find those who believe in Allah and the Akhirat, that they befriend those who oppose Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They do not befriend the enemies of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though they be their own fathers, their own sons, their brothers, and their family members. These are those people in whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had firmly embedded iman in their hearts, referring to the sahaba ikram. Further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, radiyallahu Allah ta'ala is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the quality in the iman in the lives of the sahaba ikram. Very, very glaring in the lives of the sahaba ikram. We find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, with regards to iman, that when this iman becomes firmly embedded in the heart, then a person will experience the sweetness of this iman. Such a person is very, very fortunate. In fact, Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah Ali mentions that anna halawat al-iman idha dakhalat qalban la takhruju minhu abadan. That when the halawat of iman, the sweetness of iman enters the heart of a believer, then it will never leave his heart. And then he further says, fafihi isharatun إِلَى بَشَارَةِ حُسْنِ الْخَاتِمَةِ لَهُ. That in this is an indication and a glad tiding that inshaAllah, a person who has attained the sweetness of iman, he will die with iman. It's a glad tidings for him. Because once he has tasted Iman, the sweetness of Iman, it will remain for him with him forever till his dying day. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then mentions in this hadith, which was mentioned initially, that that person has tasted the sweetness of Iman. ذَاقَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ مَنْ رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَسُولًا. That person has tasted the sweetness of Iman, who is pleased with Allah as his Rabb, and he is pleased with Islam as his deen, his way of life, and he is pleased with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his messenger. So we will say that alhamdulillah, we are happy that we are Muslims. But to understand ahadith and to understand what is meant and implied by the ahadith, we have to look at the manner in which the Sahaba and Kiram and the Muhaddithin have understood ahadith. We cannot just pick a hadith kitab and come to conclusions. This is very, very dangerous. We have to understand ahadith through the ulama and kiram and through the Muhaddithin and the manner in which the Sahaba and Kiram understood ahadith. So in this hadith, Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali mentions that what is meant by this hadith, and when will we say a person is happy with Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Islam as his way of life, that we look at his life and we see that in his life he submits to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, both internally and externally. That in his heart he accepts whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, has declared that this is haram and this is halal, then he accepts it in his heart. And externally, practically, he also implements it practically in his life. For example, Fajr Salah, we all accept internally that it is farad. But how many of us will externally come to the masjid and then perform our salah? So it is a sign that there is a weakness in our iman. A person whose iman has become strong, then internally and externally, he will submit to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further, he says that when any difficulty afflicts this person, he will have sabr and bear patience. He will not complain about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There will be sabr in his life over difficulties. And if any bounty comes upon him, then when he will express shukr, that alhamdulillah, this is a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will make shukr for that bounty. Remember that shukr for bounties are different. If a person has been given a bounty, then if he abuses that bounty, then that is making nashukri of that bounty. That is ingratitude for that bounty. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with health, and then he uses that health for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he is making shukr of that health. On the other hand, that good health and that strength in his body, if he uses it to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he is expressing ingratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says further that he is happy over the conditions in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps in him. That he means he is happy over taqdeer. That in whichever condition Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept me in, I am happy. Obviously he adopts the means. And thereafter using the means, then the condition that he is left in, he is pleased over it. Whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept him wealthy or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept him poor, he is pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he does those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded him to do, and he abstains from those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited him from doing. Then he says that this person here is truly pleased with Allah as his Rabb, and he is pleased with Islam as his way of life, and he is pleased with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his messenger. Further, he mentions also that he follows Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect of his life, whether it is the sunan of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or whether it is the adab and akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We must understand that we have to obey and we have to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in many aspects. For example, the adab and etiquettes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the consideration found in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the manner in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conducted himself with his neighbors. If you look at our lives today, we find that non-Muslims are complaining about our Muslims, that they are not fulfilling the rights of neighbors. So we have to have consideration for our neighbors. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so particular with regards to this. In one hadith he mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَا زَالَ جِبْرِيلُ يُسِينِ بِالْجَارِ حَتَّى ظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ سَيُوَرِّثُهُ. That Jibreel alayhi salam continuously advised me regarding the neighbors, the rights of the neighbors, until I thought that soon the neighbors will inherit from our heir. So the rights of the neighbors, these were the adab and etiquettes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Similarly, the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We need to emulate this as well. Look at the mu'asharat, the social behavior of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The manner in which he conducted himself with his wives, cheerful, happiness, tolerance. These are all part and parcel of the sunnat and the ways of, and manners of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter he says that this person here will then have attained the sweetness of Iman. So therefore we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us the ability to strengthen our Iman, and He grants us the ability to abstain from those things which will weaken our Iman. That means if we're going to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and involve ourselves in sin, then slowly but surely our Iman will become weaker and weaker. Therefore it is important for us to involve ourselves in those things which will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go to those type of environments which will strengthen our Iman. We know that the ijtima is taking place over this weekend. So brothers, I encourage to participate in this ijtima. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the ijtima a success. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all workers of deen ikhlas in whichever departments they are working. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.